Blog Talk Radio.
Well, aloha, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to NXT 8 years back. No, not NXT 8 years back. Why am I on speaker? Guys, here's the thing. So I muted and unmuted again, even though we were unmuted, but sometimes it does that to us. So So hopefully they hear us now.
Always fun on Tuesday nights.
One of them is back and raised their hand again. So I'm gonna hazard to guess that they hear us. It's so the thing says we're unmuted, but purely ornamental, that part of the screen. So main event. Hayes does indeed successfully defend. And then says that, at the end, he's doing his mic time and his music comes in as if he's accepting an Oscar, but he didn't win a very big Oscar, so they're playing him off with the music. That is what happened. And he just, he turns and looks like he just wants to swat somebody for playing in the middle of his mic time because he doesn't even have much to say. All he says is he is going to defend this thing at Stand and Deliver in the same way that he won it in a ladder match. But it's so flat because he's thrown and then he just gets out. I think he was mad. And I was mad for him. That was ridiculous. I think this happened because they went about a minute long. This did end at, 9:09 local for me, wherever you are, at 9 after the hour. When it's usually 8 and, they got another show to get to because America's Got Talent Extreme. That's where it's at, folks. So a great match. Great is such a strong word, but a very good TV match. Strong style for the first half, kicked into a higher gear. The only thing that was a black mark for me in this match, and it was the fact that Dunn hit the bitter end, and then he couldn't cover. But nothing that happened in the few minutes before that would suggest that he wouldn't get over for a cover. That was not motivated properly. Maybe they had to rush to get to that because they were like, oh, it was, in retrospect, a bad idea to have 8 matches on the show. Tom, main event.
Last week it was Ali, directed by Michael Mann, that came on after NXT, and it's probably the first time since NXT went to USA that the show has ended and I actually kind of wanted to stay tuned afterward. Usually whatever they put on afterward is repellent, but Ali is an incredible film, as you would imagine, it being directed by Michael Mann. I'm glad you had a lot to say about this one, and I totally agree with your points about Pete Dunne, and that specific spot did stand out to me as well, but it's yet another typical NXT main event. That is often a good thing, but as far as analyzing them, it's just like, okay, this is the part of the show where they just put out two guys who know how to work and let them do it for into the overrun, and that's basically all it is. So I'll just add that Trick Williams was great at ringside. He always is. I just keep on forgetting to actually say so. I think he really stands out, and I've liked a lot of what he's brought to his role. I guess maybe I'm reaching for something else to add here, but what you mentioned about Hayes getting thrown by his music coming on, we've observed that same kind of thing. I've observed that same kind of thing happening when Trick is playing Hype Man to him, and I've questioned whether it's him actually getting thrown off or whether it's just relationship characterization that we're actually supposed to think that he is, that his character actually is a little annoyed by Trick and is just kind of like, dude, shut up. I got this. This is my mic time. Come on. I wonder if this was a little tip off that he does actually get thrown by stuff like that. Although of course your music coming on when you've been told hype the ladder match, it's going to throw you.
Yeah. On second thought, don't hype the ladder match for some reason. I don't know. Weird. Yeah, Trick is cool. We could hang out. In fact, Trick, let's have a beer. or whiskey. Those are my two things. Trick. I think we could hang. Okay. That number is 515-605-9345. We lost our friend Ryan. Hopefully he tries to call back in. We're very sorry.
Probably the past couple, I mean, not counting Keller post shows, the past couple times I've spoken with Ryan, I feel bad afterward because last week, since Nikita Lyon's parents have been made like a part of her character, but they still don't tell us who her parents are, it leaves you kind of wondering. So Ryan was totally justified in wondering, and then I made it very well known that I felt like a creepazoid crawling through the internet trying to figure out who her parents are, and I felt like, oh no, I probably made him feel bad for asking the question he asked. And then the week before, he asked a very good question about women from NXT ending up in the WrestleMania main event, and I just spaced on it, and like, my actual answer should have been was somewhere among the words I said, just not in the order I said them. So Ryan might be giving up on me.
You're out there looking up Nikita Lyons' parents. I'm still not interested in her. So there you go. Even though the show is insistent that I am. One of the biggest debuts in recent memory.
Since we're there, I can just conversationally lead us that way. Did you, if I'm taking it correctly, we don't have any calls waiting.
I do have one.
We should take it, but we should absolutely hit this Nikita Lyons thing real quick. Did you see her match last week? I definitely want to talk about it, but it is true that it blew up on social media, not for the reasons they want us to believe it did.
That is what I heard. I did hear that that it weren't good. I noticed that they were showing highlights, and it was highlight. They showed one move.
She did the same move multiple times, and the sad thing about the split leg finish, or whatever you want to call that, is that it's such a short highlight that every single time I've seen it shown, which is a lot, it keeps getting reshared and reshared. It also shows her walking away from her opponent awkwardly and then remembering, oh, right, I'm supposed to do this move right now. And it's just, I don't want to beat up on her because I see the potential there. And I've actually been spending some time like going back and watching her WOW matches and watching interviews of hers and trying to dig into what she brings into the table and figure out what's not clicking right now, especially because she really did take off on social media last week because of the outfit she wore and how she looks in it, particularly certain parts of her body, which, hey, straight male, I agree. And it's also a huge improvement over the like custom construction fencing stuff she was wearing before and may unfortunately switch back to, since it's in her wardrobe. But yeah, the match was so bad. It's honestly remarkable. And we can get as specific as you want. I'm excited to, honestly. But it is remarkable that just the way she physically looks has, at least for the span of a week, compensated for how everything else is absolutely lacking. Okay, that's mean. I shouldn't say everything. There's some raw stuff there, but she's not translating it into the pro wrestling art. She's honestly, she is fascinating to watch right now.
Yeah, the act is something that rhymes with hitting on all cylinders. I didn't know what I was going to say until I said it. That was just a little bit of inspiration there at the last moment. I'm sorry. She's just real, real bad. Okay.
She was up against Kayla Inlay as well. Kayla Inlay being the person who sandbagged Saray on Saray's return match on the finish. And she did it again on a German suplex here right after. Like, maybe it was justified this time because this was right after Nikita Lyons totally buried her by, like, she, the German suplex was a reversal. And Inlay was trying to German lions, and lions just stood there and just sort of casually smacked away Inlay's grip, which maybe on paper sounds like, oh, well, she's the bigger wrestler and this is like a power thing to do, and like maybe, you know, Andre or Braun Strowman would have done the same thing. And but no, she just sort of casually stands there as if she's not in a wrestling match at all. Yeah, it, boy, it, what was the other thing she did that, oh, there were multiple things, but, oh, right. She set up for her signature kick that she did multiple times. And then she realized that she was standing on the wrong side of the ring to do it with her preferred leg to do that on. So she switched sides of the ring before hitting the kick. It's just, she's got so much, so far to go. And now I'm just going to repeat myself. It's like, this is the type of person that I agree with the signing. She should be working in the PC because there are pieces to be put together here. But this is also the type of person that they are now putting on TV. And it's just, it's amazing to see the process unfold. But evaluating is that evaluating it as it is. Yeah, there's a lot of work to be done.
Okay, well,
and that's not even talking about the acting.
No, it's, and let's not, because I don't know how somebody could even argue against that. Yeah, I mean, her being on TV right now, it's bad for us and it's bad for her. If she has any talent at all, if they like her as much as they seem to, and they sure seem to, then they really should not have her on TV, period. I just can't believe they've seen those things. Like, somebody with a massive ego was behind this and with a massive amount of stroke, because there have to be people saying, we got to pump the brakes and get this right, or this is going to be a career killer.
Yeah. Because honestly, they've got something, especially the way people responded to her. And yes, I know that was just based on how she physically appears. You know, it's horny Twitter, if I can say that on the Daily Cast. But that's something. There is something here, and the raw potential of, like, she genuinely knows. I don't know what style of martial arts it is, but she clearly has studied something and knows naturally how to position her body for certain maneuvers. It's not translating into the worked version of the sport.
All right, we are going to go to 312, and we're going to talk to them, and we'll try to get away from the most negative versions of ourselves. So 312, sorry about the weird on our end. It looks like we're unmuted, and we're not.
Oh.
Go ahead.
I've been there. I'm there every week. Don't worry. I've been there.
All right.
It's Sean from Chicago by way of Chico, California.
Well, hello.
Oh, hey, man.
Again, Sean.
Kind of weird that Tom's, man, he said everything about Nikita was terrible. Now, I know it's supposed to be a play on LaFemme Nikita, but man, do they got a lot of stuff going on her. It's like a gumbo. She's a gumbo, a wrestling gumbo.
Yeah, she. I guess that's true. They're just throwing it all on the wall, and whatever sticks, sticks. And sometimes it takes a while. Like, for the first time so far tonight, I thought the new Dakota Kai act was kind of working. In comparison to the dead that it has been. I'm just trying. I'm trying here with Nikita. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
I think it's true.
She's got
is,
what? She's the.
So
I think please go ahead,
Sean. The size with everyone. So I was looking at not just Cora Jade, but because she's kind of tall, but I was looking at Xia Li on SmackDown. And I realized just how tiny she really is. And I see Nikita Lyons and a Electra Lopez and a Raquel Gonzalez, and I get it. I get where they're going and why they're going, there. I just don't understand why they're trying to pump so much character into one person. She's at least like eight different 80s action characters, like seriously. And she's got some Red Sonja going on. She's got some Ripley going on. Like, I don't know who she's supposed to be, and I think they need to strip her all the way down to absolutely nothing. Start at martial arts, keep the outfit. Start at martial arts, and then go from there.
I like the idea
of Red Sonja.
Yeah, me too. I like the idea of scrapping it all. That part of it, I think, is perfect. That's a great start.
I agree with keeping the martial arts as her baseline, since that's naturally what she's good at. And yes, keep the outfit. What she was wearing in the ring before on 205 Live looked it was not flattering. It did not look good. I mean, even I perked up. I don't know. What do I mean by even I? Of course, I notice an attractive woman when I see him. But
from the podcast, like especially.
Okay, all right, fair enough. I am the one that posted those Deanna Purrazzo pictures.
Trying to talk. You're sending me Deanna Purrazzo.
But yes, the cut of the outfit was extremely flattering. So yes, I agree that those are the elements to keep. But it is bizarre that they are just like, okay, she's a singer and a rapper and a dancer and a martial artist and a fighter, and her
and
parents do this and this, and yeah.
She's Psylocke, but a wrestler, pretty much. my biggest problem with all of NXT is the volume. It's the volume, but no real, not credibility, but everybody kind of comes out and has the same match, and like we're learning about everyone as they learn how to wrestle. And that's really bad for us because we've watched it our entire lives, or at least most of our lives, and it just looks really bad because we see someone starting this thing. I was like watching a baby try to walk. It's like, you'll get used to it. But, you know, and then you see them walking. It's like, oh, my God, maybe you might not learn to walk. It's like I think Trick Williams is good. And, Hayes, I saw a couple things he did wrong, but what do you guys think about the overall just greenness of NXT and how it's way different from the seasoned wrestlers, that indie guys that they used to have?
Well, it's greener now than it's ever been. And I say that as somebody who's seen T since the beginning. Tom and I do NXT 8 years back. We will. We just did the first takeover, NXT Arrival, which was not called Takeover. We just did that one and recorded that for last week's show, and we'll do the fallout this week. And even at that time, we didn't see the number of people that are that green that we do now. The way I feel about it is, let's say a wrestler is A to Z, and at Z, you've got guys like Gunther, Bryan Danielson, AJ Styles, guys who for themselves have pretty much perfected everything they can do with their body type, with their wrestling style, guys that made it to Z. But a lot of guys make it to PQR. We're watching people that are like A in some respects. And I'm happy to see people go from like D to M. I'm going to stretch this until it breaks, folks. I'm happy to watch people go from like D to M, but watching people be at like A every single week, like a number of people who, like, I certainly wouldn't put Nikita Lyons on TV, but I'd also be waiting with Lash Legend because I think there's something there. But I think she's really soft right now. She is. Persia Parada is pretty bad.
You know who else is terrible? Tom, Jade. That's for you, Tom. Cora Jade is terrible. she stutter steps every time she goes. Like, the only person I can compare her footwork to is Sheamus, but that's because he's always had that awkward footwork. But I got over that because he became a really good wrestler. But she is awful, man. She's always out of place. She's never stepping right. And, like, I don't know what body type she's supposed to have. I don't know if it's a skater or swimmer or gymnast. I don't know. I'm confused about her 100%. I do like her outside of wrestling, though. Like, if she's not in the ring, I like what she's saying.
Yeah, I was really bullish on her in the beginning. But I have had to, as she's had a number of matches, some of them higher profile, I've had to kind of temper that and say, okay, she is a work in early progress. And I want her to have progressed more than she has. And for me, it's unfortunate that she hasn't come as far as she has, because I was psyched about her from the first time she just did a job and barely was named on TV. But yeah, there's a lot of talents I wouldn't have on TV at all. And I don't think they're being done any favors in this. So I'm happy, like, breaking ground or whatever, like, to watch a documentary from something between 1 to 8 hours about being at point A, that would be fascinating to me. But, like, to watch a wrestling show happening where you're seeing titles fought over and won, and, like, an actual wrestling show, and a lot of the people are at A, it is really starting to wear on my patience. Like, I feel like my time's being wasted to some degree, being shown some of these talents that are absolutely not ready, Tom.
I think that's a good way to put it, because I think there are a lot of listeners who are probably sick of hearing me say that, which is still the case, that I enjoy watching the developmental journey. And when someone like Persia Parada goes out there and has just an atrocious match in her first time out on 2.0, she then becomes somebody that I want to watch, because I've seen that low floor and I want to see her grow from there. And I've experienced just the enjoyment that I get out of tracking the progress that wrestlers go through enough times to recognize that that's one of the key things that I like in watching the business. And sure, sometimes it doesn't always work out, but when you can recognize the progress, whether it's specifics or whether it's intangibles, I tend to respond to that. So that's what keeps me going. But I think you make a very good point, because that even being the case for me, I still do feel like, everything you said is true, that being in a 2-hour format on what I have mistakenly called broadcast TV, but cable TV. I heard myself say that on whatever podcast it was. I think it was a recent 8 years back, and I listened back to myself and I was like, no, man, it's cable. It's an ill fit for what they are trying to do. NXT has always had an odd combination of trying to sell a TV show and trying to develop talent at the same time. And even with the reversion to focusing, again, yeah, like you said, even more so on raw developmental talents than they ever have under the NXT banner, it's just such an awkward fit, especially at the 2-hour length. So that's just, and I swear I'm not trying to turn it into a plug, but that's why when NXT Level Up became a thing and it was like, okay, here is about a half an hour length of show that's just, I mean, yeah, sure, they've got like Kushida on there so far and whatnot as the draw, as much as Kushida can draw in that capacity, but it is the preliminary. It is like, okay, here's just a quick little, even shorter than NXT used to be when it was taped. Here's just a quick little people who are still getting their chops, still people who are still figuring it out, people who are just getting out there, getting reps in front of a live crowd, in a simulation of what the main roster is like. Here's just a couple of quick little matches, and I love seeing those little samples almost like a combine in a sense. And so that's what excited me about Level Up and why I immediately was like, hey, wait, I want to do a podcast. And here we are. But yeah, that's where I sit.
Go ahead, Sean.
How are you guys on Chase U? I think, before you answer that, I think there's a couple acts like Grayson Waller. Obviously, he needs to stay in NXT a little bit longer. Not because he's green, but because he just needs to get a little bit more recognition, a few more reps. But I think there's a few acts they should just straight up take right off NXT and plug right into the main roster like they've been doing. I'd take Grayson Waller and put him on SmackDown immediately. You know, I don't think he really needs to waste too much time in NXT, especially if you don't make him champion. He's pure talent. You know, he's got the moves. He's got the fundamentals down enough. And he could pretty much learn whatever he needed to at house shows from here on out. Chase U is another guy. Andre Chase. I love the Chase U gimmick. That and Alpha Academy would be great. Who are some other guys you think could just move straight to main roster with just a couple weeks of plugging in and then putting them right up on the roster?
Kind of a big picture question that. But yeah, Tom and I, again, talking 8 years back, we've seen some guys that were so good that they didn't get matriculated into the title picture because that would have kept them down there longer. They just did some stuff and realized what they had and moved the guy up or moved the girl up. There's honestly not a lot. Andre Chase, it's funny you bring him up because I hadn't really thought about him, but I think that his gimmick and what he's going to be is basically ready. Like, I don't know how he does in a long match setting, but I don't think there's a lot of long matches in this guy's future.
Nope, just squat.
Let me be blunt. I like him, but his best case scenario is like Simon Dean. His best case scenario is Santino, and they keep him around for 10 years doing Santino things. And every now and then he does a weird Santino thing, like become the last person eliminated in a Royal Rumble or actually qualify for an Elimination Chamber match. And everybody's going crazy for him because they know it can't happen. But what if it did? I like Andre Chase, but between what he looks like and what he wears, the idea that he would get a single move in on Von Wagner, he didn't get much offense in on Von Wagner, but it's still probably too much. Any is probably too much. But he got it in because Bodie.
Don't watch AEW then if you think people are getting in too much. If you think Andre Chase is getting in too much, don't turn the channel, man. Trust me.
I know. But I don't know if there's an Andre Chase comparison right now.
True. No,
Andre is like the kind of guy, and I say this with the utmost respect, that I just him to see get punched in the face over and over and over and over and destroyed over and over. And that is super valuable. You're right. I think he could do it fairly quickly. I will say the same about Tony D'Angelo. This surprises me because I don't think he's that great, but he's a character who really, really fits. And he could go up and, like Sheamus, he could slowly become a better wrestler along the way while he's there. And all of a sudden he's having these big matches and he's delivering and you're saying, well, hell, when did I start liking Tony D'Angelo? Which is exactly what happened to me with Sheamus, because when he went up, he was the drizzling hits. I'm going to keep rhyming hits and those kind of things. He was not good.
Split.
And, man, there you go. The drizzling splits, that guy. And he figured it out. And I am always happy to see him. I dig his act. He's ready. Gosh, there's not much else for the ones
like
that have
Zion
not been there.
Quinn?
Zion Quinn is probably similar to what he can be too. I don't know how much I see in Zion Quinn, but I think he can go up there now and be relatively what he's going to be. But I do think they should give him a little more character before he goes up. But they could just do that as he goes up too. Because right now, I'd be afraid of Vince just, I don't know. I can see him saying like, well, we already have Damian Priest. He's got some of the same hallmarks. Like what? And I'm just trying to put myself in his head, like what he sees. Because what he sees is so, he is who he is. I wonder, I could see him being, if he was called up, be great for him in the short term. But I think that it would be really, really short term. I just don't know how he slots in. He would have to figure out a way to make himself shine quick. Because I don't see, yeah, there's parts of it that are ready. But I think he could benefit from some time to find out who he is. Tom?
Well, first of all, I agree with you on Sheamus, although I guess I'm going to have to look more carefully at his footwork henceforth. I'm curious now.
Oh, I think
he's awkward.
Think that
he's awkward.
About him.
He's always really? Awkward.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't say I'm a dancer, but I've been an entertainer, and he's awkward. I would say that. It's I've gotten past it now, but it's still actually just as fumbly and awkward as it's always been.
Sure. Andre Chase, I agree with what Kelly said about him, and I mean it. I also, like Kelly does, mean it in a positive light. I like him better as a babyface now and doing the C-H-A-S-E kicks and everything and you know, being a babyface invites the crowd to participate with that more. I like what he brings, and I'm looking forward to seeing more from Bodie Hayward. So setting aside the afore-referenced awkwardness that NXT being a television show in its own right brings in that they need to have finished products that can draw, that stay on the show, I feel like the majority, like as long as you have put some pieces together and you are a safe worker, or I should say that you're not a dangerous worker, I feel like they're are more reasons to give you a call up than to keep you on NXT. And we've seen them do that. You know, just a relatively recent example is Braun Strowman going up way before he was ready, but he was super protected. They kept him with the Wyatts. They kept him with Reigns for quite a while, finally broke out on his own and did the squashes. And all told, I mean, honestly, had a really successful WWE run and had all the pieces put together for the last few years of it for as much as he needed to. And now we're seeing them use a very similar template with Amos. And unfortunately, the potential has not really expanded beyond the hopes that I had for him to begin with. And I won't go down that rabbit hole, but there are some specific detriments that I've been noticing and will continue to keep an eye on. But I feel like the reasons, again, setting aside the fact that NXT needs draws, like you need your, well, Tommaso Ciampa, bad example, because he's currently in the midst of a call-up. But like you need your Pete Dunnes, I guess. But your Io Shirai's, there's a better example. But I feel like the other two primary reasons to keep somebody on NXT are obviously A, that they need a lot of work, or B, they seem like they could be a finished product like a Zion Quinn or like the Creed brothers that you want on the main roster, but you've got to make sure that they've like you don't want to just like send them up and hope it goes well. You've got to make sure that they've dotted their I's and crossed their T's and give them the extra reps and stuff to work on. And I feel like that is – I was actually going to bring up Zion Quinn anyway, so it's interesting that you asked about him. But I feel like that's where he's at, that he's been working on how to present himself, and he's gone through various incarnations on house shows for several years at the Performance Center now, and he's still not quite there. He has a lot of it figured out, but there are still little bits of it that he is – I feel like every time I see him in the ring, I'm imagining that, like, at home in his apartment, he stares at himself in the bathroom mirror and thinks, like, oh, I should totally try this. This would get the crowd to pop. And then he tries it, and here's how the crowd reacts, and then he goes back and looks at himself in the mirror again. He's like, all right, how can I tweak that to actually make it work this time? So I feel like he's working on it. But yeah, I looking up and down the list of people who are just plain old, looking up and down the NXT roster, I see so many names that are just like, you know what? Yeah, if they got a call up tomorrow, they would do just fine. And there are very few names that wouldn't. But the other crucial element of that, of course, is the timing of the call-up. Is there space for them on the roster? Are they worked into a plan? Is this something that the main roster had a need for, had a spot for? You can't just send them up when they're ready because they're ready. You don't want a Keith Lee situation.
One more name I didn't think of, Solo Sikoa. I think he's pretty.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. Yeah, he was one of the first ones that popped to mind when the question came up. Yeah,
I don't know
absolutely.
Why he's there anyway, to be honest. I don't really know why he's there. I think it kind of sets a bad precedent for the other Usos because they're going to look worse. Even though they've been on the main roster, he's the one that looks like the total badass. So I don't see how they're supposed to be to match him, to be honest. So, like, he looks like he'd be NXT champion, which maybe he should be. And I would move Bron Breakker out of it. I don't know why he's really there. I see why they tried, why they made him champ, but I wouldn't have Bron Breakker. I know Bron Breakker's still green. And one thing he does that I really don't like in NXT, everybody always screams after they do a move. They do it on the main roster too, but you do a big move and you scream and you hulk up. Like, could you just stop? Can we get rid of that particular thing? If everyone does it, it takes me out of it. It lets me know that you're performing for a live crowd. I get that, but it takes me out of it because I'm not there.
Or at least,
live and,
or at least yeah. Yell something. Yell.
Like, don't do the,
yeah, like
the Victor from the Ascension.
Say straight fire.
Yeah, say yeah, baby. Something, but not just ah. Because it's just like literally laugh-inducing for me to see just a scream.
Liv Morgan's the biggest one to do that.
Gosh.
She just can't stop
yep.
doing it. And it's just, it really took me out of her character. So I get it. I'm rooting for you. Could you please stop doing that? You don't need to do that every single time you do a big move. But I would get Bron Breakker out of there. Honestly, next week I'd make him drop that title to Dolph and make him chase. And then I'd make him start to kind of bully people on the main roster. You know, he's like a bully Ray. That's who his character is to me. It's bully Ray. So let him go be a bully. Just let him go do that. He doesn't need a title or anything. Please go make him do that. Get him out of NXT. I don't see him being the face of green wrestlers. You know, get someone else that's green. Carmelo Hayes is going to have to move pretty soon, too, to be honest. And one thing about that I want to say about him is he shouldn't have been – as a professional, he should not have been thrown off about his music coming on. I know it would have thrown off even the best of them, but he isn't the best of them yet. One thing that would have set him apart is if that wouldn't have thrown him off. I was looking for him to do that, but he didn't. It's not a big deal, but it would have been great if that didn't mess him up and he did something like LA Knight could have done and just pulled something out, you know, out of nowhere and just.
Oh, absolutely. He could just be like, don't you dare try to play me off this show by playing my music over me.
Exactly. Anything.
Yep. Yep. Something like that. And that's it was too bad that that happened. Like, I give these guys a long leash because I know that acting is probably not what brought most of them to the table. He just happens to have a lot more charisma than the vast majority of them. But, yeah, if he was – better at it or maybe had done it for longer, maybe thought to do that, but he's also young in the WWE system, so they do that to him. Did my call drop?
You still got me, or I think you do.
No, I'm still.
What were all those sounds? Okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
I just got a whole bunch of I got whale noises, folks. So if there's a whale in the chat, just make yourself known.
I live by a highway.
Four all over again.
What's that, Sean?
I say I live by a highway. It could be that. I doubt it's that, though.
No, this was definitely like these were these were Skype sounds. Skype was trying to make me aware of something. I just don't know what.
Something's big, making a voyage home.
Yeah. This big picture stuff is proving pretty fun. Sean,
yeah.
If you got one more, go ahead.
I did have one more. It's way outside the box, but I'll throw it at you anyway. What if Kobe Covington came to WWE? Now, somebody posed this question to me. Or maybe I posed it to him. I don't know. I get confused. Got a lot going on these days. But if Kobe Covington came to WWE and worked with Kurt Angle, how would you guys feel about that? Maybe even in NXT. I think it would probably be main roster, but I think it'd be great to see Kurt and Kobe Covington in NXT to give them a boost and something going on, kind of like how their quote-unquote competition had done kind of recently.
So bringing in an MMA fighter is always like, it's always going to look like stunt casting. And there's never been a weirder time to ask this question because the last MMA fighter they brought in just today was detained for attempted murder. So Cain Velasquez arrested for attempted murder today. Does that make him gun shy? I don't know. But the timing, they might not like the optics of the timing. If they bring in somebody from MMA, especially if they have pedigree, I am all for that person skipping NXT and doing something on the main roster, protected, working with people hardcore behind the scenes who can really help them out. But these are short-term gains you're trying to make with these people. These are not people who probably have a deep love of wrestling. There will be some exceptions, but I don't think that's mostly what it's about. But yeah, I think that if you have somebody like that with crossover appeal, what the heck? Try it. I don't know how many people you can cross into wrestling. I think you're into wrestling or you're not. I don't know if the casual fan is a mythical beast or what. But if you want to give it a shot, I like the idea, theoretically, of just having that person kind of skip the line. You also have Ronda Rousey there, and they're putting her in a big position. She's miscast.
And she's terrible.
And she's terrible. She's floundering. This is not the role for her. It is just
you
not
know who
the
gave
role.
Her the best match? Bayley.
Yeah.
She almost had a horrible match on Raw with Bayley because she was so horrible. And Bayley slowed her down and pulled out the best match I've seen out of Ronda Rousey, actual wrestling match. And that's why Bayley is the best worker of the Four Horsewomen. If people hate that, that's too bad. It's Bayley. She's got good matches out of Ronda Rousey and Nia Jax.
It's the truth, and that is exactly why, too, that Bayley controls the match, and she will give people their best matches. That is the main thing that I think is amazing about her. You're 100% correct.
Tom and I have had this question a few times on NXT 8 years back about ranking the horsewomen in a myriad of ways. But when we're talking about best workers, we never hesitate to say Bayley.
Yeah. And I can't add much about Covington since I don't follow that world. But yeah, I guess you're going to get people like Tom Lawler or Shayna Baszler or Matt Riddle who have come from that, and what they bring to the ring is just fascinating to watch and become some of my favorite stuff to watch. I love watching the in-ring work of all of those people that I mentioned and still more beyond that. But when they come in from already having been at a high level, because since, you know, the people that I mentioned, they didn't make it to the top level. I mean, is there anyone, like, I guess I don't know exactly what Shamrock's credentials were. Is there anyone other than Rousey who has come in? He was? Okay.
Yes, he was a big deal. Yep. He and his brother.
Yeah.
Ken Shamrock.
So I guess it would be, Oh, I forgot about him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He used to bring
okay,
the NWA
so there,
championship
there are a few.
To the ring.
Yeah. Okay, so there are a few. But, yeah, there isn't a big precedent set for that kind of thing. But as far as Covington specifically, I wouldn't be able to comment on where I how I would see that going.
When
when
Sean asked about Colby Covington, I was like, part of me wanted to throw to Tom first just to see if he knew who Colby Covington was.
I was Google image searching and found some stuff. The first thing that came up, I was like, oh, he's a handsome man. And then everything else I saw was deeply disturbing, either just based on like how he looked coming out of a fight or the color of cap he was wearing.
Yeah,
I
wouldn't say all gimmick. Yeah. But it's all that's one thing. That's why I posed that question, because it's gimmick with him, but he's also a wrestler by trade. So you would be essentially getting Kurt Angle that had been in MMA, you know, instead of the Olympics. So, send him to NXT, let him get a start and do something with him, and maybe give him a mouthpiece, maybe have Kurt be his mouthpiece, and they'll start him off as a good guy. He turns on Kurt. I mean, everybody wants to see Kurt go one more time, so I was just throwing that out there. But no, he's going to probably lose his next fight, and I don't know what he's going to do after that. I'm always looking for crossover people because it's just not much to talk about in MMA these days. So I'm rooting for him to lose and go to WWE, like really tough.
Well, based on some of those photos, control your narrative is probably going hard at this guy.
I've seen the social media discourse surrounding it, and I've gone looking for, I don't know, I guess I haven't looked hard enough. They're probably not difficult to find, but like I've gone to their YouTube page and it's just a bunch of music. I'm like, where's this stuff that everybody's, I don't know. I'm curious. Although I know I'll be.
Yeah, I'm barely finding out what that is. I just, I bought a house and I'm going to have a baby girl, and I don't care. I want to talk
Hell
about
yeah.
wrestling.
Yeah.
I don't want to miss wrestling, and I try to keep my head out of that stuff. I mean, I got stuff to say, but I just, you know, it's that's the interesting part about having a Colby Covington in a WWE setting. Would they go there, or would they just tell him not to? But would he press the envelope just for views, and would they go with it for the views, or would they just, in today's climate, or would they just back away from that? That's the interesting thing about him.
Yeah, I think that they're too global and too big that Vince, no matter what he felt about any of it, would probably shy away from it. I think there are times where he would have embraced it while also embracing the characters on whatever other side there is. But I think... As he's just made, I mean, it's so much more brand than anything right now. Like he's not trying to be a provocateur. He's out there trying to put together the blandest and most easily digestible main roster product there is anywhere. I don't know that they'd go there at all. I don't know if I'd be against it. Because you got to do something to wake up the WWE wrestling landscape, but
I
wanted
to
say
universe.
I'd show up with his hat. I'd show him to show
thankfully.
Up with his hat on.
Oh,
I'd
boy.
Say show up with the hat on and see what they do. Why not?
Yeah,
I think it depends. It's a character.
Yeah, and of course there are people who have taken advantage of that exact thing for their characters on the independent scene. I think it depends on how prominent the controversial elements are, because I want to say that absolutely, if somebody wanted to come in and they could agree on a deal, if it was like, okay, this person is a star, they could bring something to the table for us, they could bring extra eyeballs to us, or at least notoriety or whatever, however fleeting, or they could wear a WWE belt to one of their events. Well, you know, whatever it is, I feel like it would be a very quick trigger pull. Like, yes, we're absolutely doing this, even if it's just for like a 1 month thing. like it was with Kane and like it was with the boxer guy whose name I can't remember. But Butterbean.
No.
Frank Tyson Fury.
Tyson Fury. Yes,
yeah. Butterbean, that probably did only last about a month, but it felt like it lasted 5 years. It feels like it's still going on now.
Yeah,
that is that. Yeah, maybe not for the reasons they wanted us to. But you look at Ronda Rousey, and like she has the whole Sandy Hook denier thing going on. But it's not. This is not me forgiving it. This is just me stating that it's not prominent. She's not out there just like tweeting about it all the time or doing interviews about it. I think she retweeted one thing and said, oh, there are some interesting things in this video, which is like, okay, well, you're an idiot and you shouldn't be spreading that kind of harmful misinformation. But it's not so prominent that it's at the forefront of consciousness when she's out there failing to cut a promo.
Oh, if dumb people knew how dumb they were, everything would be so much easier. Man, what a weird place we've found ourselves in for this wrestling podcast.
Have we talked about any matches yet? We're about an hour in.
You know, this kind of character.
No. You talked about the Hayes and Dunn match a little bit.
There is a wrestler on the independent scene. I don't know if he's still doing it, but he works a heel act, and his wrestling name is the Liberal Democrat. And he just works that as a heel, but he is one. And he's just like, yeah, I'm just myself. I just turn it way up. And I know if I go to a certain level, just about everybody will boo me. That is one of my favorite names in wrestling. My favorite name for any wrestler is Still Life with Apricots and Pears. But
okay, Harley Padgett.
Dude, what? Has he mentioned Still Life with Apricots and Pears?
Oh, yeah, loves her.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize that. Yeah, Sean, I think we've pretty much were we good? That was it?
You guys are great. I'm glad you kept me on for as long as you did. Although I'm the only one here.
That is true. No, we had two of you. I'm so sorry. You have to I unmute, but if I unmute before the show, then I still have to mute and unmute again, and I haven't had to do that in so long. I kind of forgot.
I want to do a quick point. Everybody go to MMAtorch.com. Check out what we got going on. It's not much, but we're rebuilding from the pandemic. So please check out our new podcast, Weekend Warriors. That's with me and Reese Lawrence. Talk about what happened over the weekend, whether it be sometimes political. Very, very few times, but we just talk about the weekend and sports. We're going to have to talk about Cain Velasquez. Unfortunately, I don't even know what happened. It just happened last night, and I was like, well, I got to tweet this out or post this on Facebook. But those are the type of things we talk about, you know. Everything MMA, some things pro wrestling, and everything combat sports.
All right. Well, we thank you very much. And, Tom and I will try to find some pro wrestling to talk about, I guess.
Congrats again on those milestones.
Yeah, absolutely.
Start with the chase match.
All right. You want us to start with the chase match? Andre Chase versus Von Wagner. I don't know. I mean, we were there. Do you know what's noteworthy about this? Is that they had some attractive woman wearing leather standing there to cheer Von Wagner as he walked to the ring. She was not there any other time. She was only there to cheer him and like kind of fawn over him in whatever acting she had available to her. And I don't know whether this is supposed to be a long-term thing where he's become the Wild One style biker dude, and she's going to be at his side, or if this was just to try to say to us, hey, hot girls like Von Wagner, that's what this is. I don't know, but she was a plant. She was 100% a plant. Yeah. She wasn't there for any other entrances. That's all I got here. Von Wagner, this went 408. I'm surprised it went that long because it was a pillar to post kind of beating. But yeah, I Chase is in his lane here. And if you're going to try something with Von Wagner, I guess this is probably about the best sort of match you could throw out there for him at this stage.
From pillar to post, from the windows to the walls. You know, it's been long enough since we've seen Von Wagner out there again. He seems so far removed now from getting the rub of beating Kyle O'Reilly in Kyle's last NXT match. It just feels like that's just completely wasted time now. And I'll add that this, I still don't mind Von Wagner. I know, I can't argue with you when you go hard on certain elements of what he brings or rather does not. But I think he's fine. I think this is a better spot for Robert Stone. Maybe I like it more because he's not talking and he's behaving a bit more seriously. I just that's working for me. Yes, the plant in the audience was so bizarre. She wasn't there when Vaughn was going was leaving. I remember noticing she wasn't there anymore. And I would have said, oh, maybe she's the skinny blonde girl that they recently signed, because I just remember that she was skinny and blonde. I don't remember what her face looked like. But they had actually shown that person earlier in the night admiring Saray's necklace. So I knew that it wasn't her. So I don't think this person, unless it's a local independent wrestler that I'm not familiar with, I don't think this person is a wrestler. I think they just like hired a pretty girl to stand there, and maybe next time Vaughn wrestles, it'll be somebody else. And so I don't know, just the fact that she does not appear to be someone who is training at the Performance Center might be a hint as to how they intend it to be taken moving forward.
All right. We had the women's, Dusty Classic first round matches tonight. This first round of this women's Dusty Classic, just a total formality to get these matches out of the way. These were marathons compared to the matches last week at 5:20. Dakota Kai and Wendy Chu defeat Indy Hartwell and Persia Parada. Persia Parada is on her way to turning heel eventually and is going to do some stuff with Indy Hartwell. I hope Indy can whip her into shape. We'll see how that goes. Raquel Gonzalez and Cora Jade defeat Yulisa Leon and Valentina Feroz in a very spirited match. They were all over the place. One of the highest plancha launches I've ever seen in my life from the heels here. They're not like all that heelish of heels, but they're heels. But Raquel and Cora move on as expected. Kai and Chu move on as expected on the women's tag matches, Tom.
Oh, man, I love Yulisa Leon so much, but Valentina Feroz, and I guess I'm just going to have to start getting used to saying Feroz rather than Feroz, as it was for a while, because they kept hitting that over and over again. She was the standout here, and maybe I sound hypocritical because I'm usually not in favor of this style of work when she's just manically flying all over the place, but working against the big and rigid Raquel Gonzalez, I thought the chemistry was good. So I was definitely into what Valentina was doing here. And I mean, good calculation on that springboard plancha or assisted, you know, whatever you want to call it, because that they have made that ramp or, you know, that aisle so narrow and one wrong move. Like if I was a wrestler, I might look at that and just be like, I'm not doing dives anymore. I'm going to keep my feet on the floor. So there's that. And Raquel and Cora are obviously going to the finals here against, EO and Kaylee Ray. Still don't really know how to pick that one. I guess EO and KLR, because it would be more interesting to see what Raquel and Cora do following a loss in the Dusty, and EO and KLR have not won a Dusty Classic. So it would be two first time winners, I suppose. Plus their names would add some prestige to it. So then you've got the other, I was going to call it the opener, but the one that happened earlier anyway. Indy and Persia, of course, were always going to lose this to further the tension that is mounting between the two of them, which is, I believe, leading to, let's call it Dexy versus Dookie, which when I wrote that in my notes, because I did write Dexy versus Dookie in my notes, and I did not say it out loud, and now I'm hearing.
Yep. Yeah.
You know,
you're hearing
now
what
I'm
hearing when you said it.
Yeah.
You know?
I didn't, I only wrote it. I did not say it, but I wrote down Dexy, and I was wondering if he has a move that he calls the Midnight Runner. He should.
Yep. I was working on that myself. Yep.
But boy, Kelly, I know I'm glad that you are seeing some good things, even if you're forcing yourself in what Dakota is doing here, because, you know, she was lost. And she needed the expertise of Wendy Chu. She
get
needed
the
that.
Hell out. You're off.
She
the podcast.
Needed her to get herself back in line. She was on the apron talking to herself, talking to invisible birds flying around, and she needed Wendy to get her back in line. And as soon as the two of them clicked and got on the same page with one another, they really just like they did a mind meld. It's Star Trek all over the place tonight. Coda fired up, and she was looking like her usual self. So, we're back on track.
I wish Wendy was an invisible bird.
Oh, God. As always, nothing against the worker.
No.
She's trying hard in a DOA gimmick. This was never going to work. From the second she went out there, I was like, oh, this is the worst thing on TV. And then Nikita Lyons went
AEW.
Out there. Everything on AEW is better than she is. Everything. And she's better than Nikita Lyons. God. Why are you... Okay. No, I've decided to say this stuff. I'm here. This is what I signed up for. Wendy Chu is... It's never going to work. I don't... The height of this is not... Even Simon Dean, I don't even know what you do with this. And Dakota was put with her, I think probably, to elevate Wendy Chu and hopefully get her to get some responses. But she's still coming out to extremely tempered and indifferent responses. And then Dakota comes out and they immediately start chanting Dakota with four people out there. They're not cheering for the team. They're cheering for her. Which correct folks, it's Dakota Kai. Okay. So Dunn and Hayes was nice. It was my third favorite match on the show because we did have the opener, Bron Breakker and Tommaso Ciampa versus the Dirty Dogs. And we had Solo Sikoa versus Gunter, which I thought was aces. Oh boy, that, even though I really, really dug that opening tag match, also during the opening tag match, for some reason, my torch stuff just like stopped. And I don't know what was going on, but I missed like 3 minutes of the match, which probably didn't help the flow. But Sikoa and Gunter, I thought was, hey, you take your undefeated young lion, good guy, and you put him up against Gunter, who you know will buzz through him, but because he's undefeated, you try to allow yourself, you know, as a booker in my head guy, I know what's going to happen, but I'm interested to see how this plays out. And they didn't give Solo all that much in the way of offense. And I think this is the way, I don't know if there's anybody long-term that they've done better than Gunter. Did I say Walter at least one of those times? I bet I did. I don't know if they've done anybody long-term as well as Gunter, where the babyface will be ready for a flurry. They'll set up that flurry for a while. They'll get in one, two shots and immediately get laid out with a big rangy back elbow or a hidden blade or a hard lariat. And watching that babyface fight from underneath is fascinating in these matches. Now with Solo, we already knew he could do the stuff fighting from above. Now we know he can fight from underneath and be a successful, sympathetic babyface. So I came into this liking Solo. I come out of this liking him more. Your opener is Bron Breakker and Tommaso Ciampa defeating the Dirty Dogs. Just so weird to me because it they told us that it was a number one contenders match, but now it's not. Dolph Ziggler, not your number one contender, and they lose as Ciampa gets the win here. So is this over? I don't know. 13:05, Breakker and Ciampa beat the Dirty Dogs in the opener on the two best matches of the show, Tom, and you don't get to disagree.
No, I agree. They are the best matches on the show. And, you know, we're playing loose tonight. I've got a lot of notes on these things, so let me just lazily read down them and see what I've got. I did enjoy Ciampa coming out in the Breakker gear, and then when he was in the ring, you could notice him mouthing, or well, saying, and then we're reading his lips. He's saying, "Should I take the straps down?" And I was thinking, no, you got to save that for your fire-up, which is exactly what he did. He took his straps down for his fire-up. And then, you know, Bobby Roode comes out to Glorious. Nice little throwback. The last time that he did that on NXT was the first taping that I ever went to. And I didn't go tonight. I haven't gone in 2 years. It's been just about 2 years now since I've been to a wrestling event. Last one I went to was in that room right there. But my son asked me over the weekend if I could take him to wrestling events again, because he remembered going to a couple over 2 years ago. And I was like, damn, that's what it was going to take. I didn't know what it was going to take, but there it was. That's what's going to get me back in that door. But by that point, I had already missed the RSVP window. But if I hadn't missed the RSVP window and I had gotten accepted into tonight's event, maybe my first show back after the pandemic would, you know what I mean by that, would have been the next time Bobby used the Glorious entrance. So there was that little diatribe. Dolph with the beard is starting to look like Snake Plissken. This was just a very, very good match, and I hope that they got people to tune in after some really solid cross promotion on Raw last night. I really liked how it was laid out that, you know, you want to see your Tommaso Ciampa, and they gave it to you in the first half of the match before the break. That was all about Ciampa doing his Ciampa stuff. But then they go to break, and when you come back, and of course, on top of it, my goodness, how could I scan over this? Ciampa is not just wearing the Breakker-inspired gear. He's doing the barking, too. He's doing Bronze barking with the crowd. So all of it is geared toward getting Braun over. We want to see the Ciampa stuff. Ciampa's gearing all of his stuff toward getting Braun over. Then after the break, it's a heat segment on Ciampa building to the Braun hot tag and all of Braun's big spots and everything. So it was really nicely built. Like they prioritized, okay, this match is about Bron Breakker, and it absolutely was. And yeah, it's really surprising that Ziggler doesn't really have any recompense here. He was just beat flat. And I was thinking in that moment, okay, maybe he could go whine backstage, and that's how they justify the title match next week. And that's exactly what he did. And he was really good in that little backstage segment they had. He's come off very well in this NXT thing that he's been doing. But he's still got beat flat by the guys he's saying that he can beat, even though he did not do just that. I think it's hilarious also that they're calling next week NXT Roadblock because Dolph Ziggler called himself a roadblock, which obviously he called himself a roadblock he called himself a roadblock in Bron Breakker's path to stand and deliver WrestleMania weekend, because he did that because they had already decided to name the show that. But Dolph said that, and then Vic announced that the show was going to be called Roadblock, and I just burst out laughing. And the only other thing I got there is that, unless I heard incorrectly, Wade Barrett made a beer money reference. He said he was talking about Robert Roode in the ring, and he said, "This is just beer money for NXT," and that was amusing. So Sikoa Gunter went just about exactly like I wanted it to. Last week I described how I would want a match like this to go, and Kelly, your reaction to it is exactly the reaction I felt that they should be going for, that Sikoa just he would get a little bit of a babyface flurry in there, but it was mostly Walter dominance. See, there, you know, I'm not used to it yet, but as we do with everything, we will get used to it. But the important thing is in the end that Sikoa would get crushed like a bug, but go down fighting, looking really good. Not looking like Sami Zayn great, but, you know, that underdog, he chose to step to the biggest guy because he's the biggest guy and he wants to prove himself kind of thing. And, yes, Sikoa was set up to look good in a loss here, and he absolutely did. And I mean, Walter, I think, looks even a little bit more svelte than he did last time we, you know, since we noticed that he's striving to change his body to drop some extra weight. And it looks like he even got some abs trying to poke through. Maybe I'm just trying to see things that aren't really there. But I mean, there is a part, and maybe I'm just looking too much into the whole, like, oh, somebody makes an entrance and they cut to commercial break thing. Which, you know, understanding why they do that, but also the taking the air out of the balloon of the drama of the entrance and everything. It's you don't want to see Walter in the person that we've known. I don't mean the name thing, but just like the entity that we have known as Walter for these years. You don't want to see him just like, oh, and now here's the next guy coming down to the ring, which is kind of how it felt tonight. So they're risking that a little bit, but he still has that presence. He still has, I mean, my goodness, the in-ring. And you just feel like, especially with the copywriting of the name, the fact that he's moved to, or that he's working predominantly in America now, the fact that he's dropping the extra weight, I mean, this guy has got to be a main roster priority sooner rather than later. I hope for that for him.
All right, so other stuff was on this show. Lash Legend beats and also apparently injures Amari Miller in 256. Harlan defeats Draco Anthony in 224. Backstage, we got a segment with the increasingly grating LA Knight. This is the version of him I was scared was going to start poking through. But he's had worse weeks than this, too. Grayson Waller and Sanga. We've got a last man standing match next week at Roadblock. The first very special episode in well over 2 weeks. Persia Parada loves her phone so much that it distracted her, and she did some very bad acting because of it. We got some hype for the tag team championship in a typically good promo. The Creeds, oh boy, do I love them. We got Briggs and Jensen. Has there been a situation where a worse actor has gotten more acting time than Brooks Jensen? This was his least bad outing. And I want that so badly to be a positive. I want to really mean that in a nice way, but it just was his least bad outing. At least it was a decent joke. Okay, we're going to get a triple threat match. Let's go with triple threat match. Ziggler, Ciampa, Braun. This is probably Ciampa's swan song. And this is probably Ziggler's swan song in this. I guess if you were going to wedge Ciampa in there, that's the only reason that you didn't say Ziggler's win was a number one contendership match. But then why make him lose? Whatever. Indy and Persia did their scene with Duke Hudson being a bastard. Indy had the line of the night saying, "How could this happen? They don't even have matching gear," which I thought was almost over the line of meta, but I thought it was a funny line. Yeah, Patrick and Mello got a little mic time. Ivy Nile and Tatum Paxley did a little thing. Saray and Tiffany Stratton did a little thing. You know, she's just supposed to be a mean girl, Tiffany Stratton. But my wife watched with me and goes, oh, is she supposed to be crazy? I think she's crazy. They're going pretty far with her and her narcissism. And Tony D'Angelo wants to reel in a big fish for Stand and Deliver, Tom.
Hey, what have we got here? I at least enjoyed L.A. Knight doing the if we're talking about people getting thrown off during their promos, he noticed people actually cheering for
that was good.
Waller.
Yes.
Yeah, it's like, oh, well, you've done enough to at least get three fans. And that was I wish people allowed themselves to cut away from the script more like that. That was a good moment. And for his part, I mean, Waller's been doing great overall, but I also liked that he just tried to dismiss this like half a year long feud by walking away and saying, this isn't a thing anymore.
Yeah, it was very good. Yeah. I wrote that down in the recap. That's a good line.
Yeah. You know what? And I hope Sangha wrestles on Level Up. Kelly, I don't know if I don't know if you caught me. It's for the dumbest reason, for the absolute dumbest reason. I bumped into Sangha in a gas station, and he just struck me as like he just has this cool aura about him. I don't know if it's coming across on TV, but seeing him in person, I was like,
it
whoa.
Is. I want to hang out with him.
Yeah. He struck me as a very cool dude. And so for that very dumb reason, I'm like, I want to see him do more. So I'm hoping he wrestles on Level Up so I can take a closer look at him. In the way that I'm doing the Perception versus Reality video package was very good. Amari Miller versus the Lash Legend. Yes, the finish was awkward. And I do wonder if that might be where something had happened, even though injuries can be weird and can happen in moments that don't look like injury moments. Hopefully Miller is okay. I'm glad they're taking care of her, at least according to reporting. But Lash Legend, I thought, was actually pretty good here. Not great or anything, but I thought she served what she was supposed to be putting forth well. And I liked that on commentary they actually mentioned that she comes from the WNBA. I don't think they actually have mentioned that about her before, which just makes the name thing that much weirder. It's like, well, I know the WNBA isn't like mainstream, but you'd think that they would have kept her name if she was a known athlete beforehand. I don't know. Maybe she was a bench warmer. I have no idea.
I do know that she was like a non-star.
Okay.
Yeah. She played. Got minutes, but she's not like a Brittany Griner. I don't know if that means anything to you.
It doesn't.
Okay, yes, Brittany Griner. I have met, I've talked to at length. I lived in Phoenix, and that's where she was playing at the time. She's cool. She was fun to talk to, and she towered over me. I sold her some home theater gear. So there you go. There's
cool.
There's your thing. You and Sarov hanging out at gas stations, me and Brittany Griner hanging out at Best Buy.
We're BFFs. I'm going to text him. Yeah. Yep. I'm going to text him after the pod and we're going to go get some shawarma.
All I got to do is find his number, guys. That's all.
You know, I actually do still have some phone numbers from when I was interviewing for a magazine. There were some people I interviewed that did not use a service that connects you through a third party. And so if certain people have not changed their phone numbers, I could accidentally butt dial them at any moment. But if I was more of a professional, I would have deleted the numbers. But the only other thing about the Lash Legend match is that I thought it was good enough, and there was enough of a story there that Lash was upset that they lost at their Dusty Classic match, that I wish it had just been given like 15 seconds of precedent before the commercial break or during the entrances in an inset promo or something like that, just to let me know what I was about to see before I had to pick up the pieces while it was already happening. I didn't take any notes on Ivy Nile and Tatum Paxley, but the very little that we've gotten to see from Tatum Paxley so far, I have liked. So I am pleased that it seems like it's actually going into a little bit of a longer term story than what I was expecting, which was just another singles match win for Ivy Nile over Tatum Paxley before Tatum went back to, you know, the kind of the, it went back to her. She's so new, she has nothing to go back to. But she, you know, go back to wrestling on Level Up. Briggs and Jensen, I guess since Electra Lopez was in this scene, Briggs and Jensen are probably going to wrestle Legado del Fantasma next week. I feel like I'm on an island in liking these Briggs and Jensen scenes. I think they are very funny. I'm enjoying this tag team very, very much. They are an absolute highlight on the show for me. The humor is landing with me, and I like them in the ring. And
I'm doing a face palm that I feel like you should be able to hear.
Oh, no. Shout out to Dana, longtime Twitter follower. I finally realized that I wasn't following you back, and I followed you back. Dana responded to me on Twitter and said that she also likes these segments, so I'm not entirely alone. She can be my Wilson Beach ball.
Dana, definitely a real person that Tom did not just make up.
100%.
My boyfriend, George Glass, said that he likes Briggs and Jeff.
So what I'm hoping for here is that Briggs and Jensen lose to Legado del Fantasma, and Jensen, I like these guys, but I still have to think about which is which when I'm saying their names. And then Jensen is like in the trainer's room afterward, and Caden like goes and takes care of him. I'm hoping for that now, so they've got me invested. Harland and Draco Anthony. Draco Anthony has not gotten to show us a lot yet. I feel like the most I've seen from him was in a match against, oh no, who was it against? I'm not going to remember. Was it Dante Chen maybe on 205 Live? And I liked what he did, so I'm looking forward to seeing more from Draco Anthony. I feel like
he's... Me too.
Yeah, it's too early to be saying that it's like a Ridge Holland or Fabian Aichner situation where I want to see more. I feel like they definitely can grow from their jobber status, but I think that the potential is there with him. And, you know, if anybody listened to Bonus Point, you know that I'm interested in Harland right now. Yeah, I talked about Harland just because he was a major act on the first episode of Level Up, and that's what I was focusing on there. But in forcing myself to not just go like, oh, he walks like RoboCop, that's weird, and move on, in really looking at move to move what this guy is doing in the ring and where he's at and what it seems like he's working on, and just trying to pick apart what his mentality is as he transitions from being an offensive lineman for UCF to being a wrestler, I found myself quite fascinated with what he's doing, how he's doing it. I feel like he makes his work look reckless, but he's actually really taking care of his opponents, and the camera angles are helping him a lot. On the latest episode of Level Up, he looked like he clocked the hell out of Jiro, and then they showed an alternate angle of it, and it was like, oh, well, they're not really serving him with the alternate angle because now I can see through it, but that was actually a really safe spot. It looked great live. I'm finding myself liking Harland more and more every time we see him. I kind of wish he wasn't standing next to Joe Gacy. And I don't know, Joe Gacy hasn't done anything horrible in like a month and a half, maybe. So I find myself wanting to try to be forgiving, but man, I just really, I tried with that guy, and I really am just not liking anything about it. Tony D'Angelo, probably not a good thing. I forgot he existed before they did this video package. Sorry, Tony. I've enjoyed you in the ring and whatnot, but completely his existence completely escaped my mind until he popped up, and I was like, oh, right.
Create a wrestler in the ring, dude. You're supposed to forget him in the ring.
All right. I don't know. He's got good suplexes anyway.
He's
and,
got suplexes.
Yeah, fair enough. I guess the other thing was the Saray thing. Yay, we get to watch Tiffany Stratton in the ring again. Another person I hope wrestles on Level Up, but another person similar to Nikita Lyons that, like, even if they don't, I'll probably, you know, carve out the time to analyze them on Bonus Point. But Saray, I have been enjoying Saray since her return, which is I guess I'm just going to say it's miraculous because she was nothing before her return. Absolutely nothing. Just total flatline. So the fact that I'm kind of enjoying her now, you know, it's nothing great. I don't think about her when she's not on the screen. But, you know, when I see her now, I'm like, oh, hey, yeah, which is a big improvement over before. But speaking of level up and speaking of Electra Lopez, on the most recent episode, Electra Lopez wrestled Saray. And guess what? She won clean. Electra Lopez beat Saray. So, yes, it was on a preliminary show that nobody watched. But what the hell? All I can say is that it was Electra Lopez's best match yet. But talk about your low bars.
Oh, my God. I knew that's what you were going to say when you said that they wrestled. I couldn't believe it
when I saw it. I couldn't believe it.
I shouldn't care. It is so many steps below any championships that are going on. Just so many. And I shouldn't care. Tony D does have good suplexes. That was just me making a really easy joke. Just me. I've been living in the space of taking swipes tonight. I'm sorry for wrestlers who still listen to the show. I know some used to, but they probably don't anymore. And that's our fault, Tom. You and I specifically.
Yep, I remember the series of unfollows.
Yeah. Yeah. We still like you. We do. Okay, email us at pwtorchnxt@gmail.com. This is from Jared Buhager. Hi, team. It's JB from Detroit. I really like how they're building the Creeds versus Imperium feud. To me, it is coming across as two serious credentialed badass teams who are vying to be the baddest guys on the block. It's very simple but effective storytelling. Do you guys think that 2.0 would be better served by introducing more feuds in this vein? The only other one in the 2.0 era that I can really think of is Breaker versus Ciampa, which also was a very good feud in my opinion. Any other serious feud feels like it has needed some sort of gimmickry to justify it. As always, love the show and go VIP. Now, it's forgotten because it was just a TV match, but Kaylee Ray versus Dakota Kai also. And
mm-hmm.
also was just a badass feud and also probably is the best match in the 2.0 era, although we're starting
yes.
to have a lot of challengers to that. But that would be my favorite. I think all of wrestling would benefit from a lot higher percentage of feuds just being about two badasses wanting to be the bigger badass in the match. If you like that kind of thing, JB, might I suggest New Japan Pro Wrestling, which
I knew it was coming.
Which does a lot of that. Throughout, especially not at major shows, they'll have a month-long feud that is mostly played out on their non-major shows, and they'll wrestle a bunch of times in tag matches and finally blow it off in a singles match. And that's what it's about. It's just about supremacy, and it can be that as long as you have characters to latch on to. And that's what it's about. Yeah, I'm down for more of those, but since this is a show about trying things and, you know, it, pro wrestling's an art form, always feel dumb saying that, but it absolutely is. So there's no reason to believe we have figured out the best way to do it. So I'm all about setting up feuds in new ways. Trying all kinds of stuff that haven't been tried. I am for attempting a character like Wendy Chu. I am also for, when you find out it isn't working, pulling the plug. But when I'm fine with the fact that we do a lot of high concept feuds on this show. Even though I think wrestling at its core can just be a lot simpler than that.
Wrestler A beats Wrestler B, so they can they beat Wrestler C? But I'm not worried about them throwing a lot of things at the wall, seeing what sticks on NXT. And again, we're still recalibrating, a lot of us. Tom, I'm probably getting over long in this. Go ahead.
No, and I agree with a lot of what you're saying. I definitely feel more that I guess I would, based on what you're saying, I'd probably fall closer to the side saying that a lot of the older tried and true methods of working a crowd and drawing money in wrestling could still be true today if they were practiced more. But I also totally agree with you about trying new things, because there is, even though there is a lot of tried and true and it could still work, there is no finite rule book about how to work the, how to make effective the very psychological art form that is pro wrestling, you know, the psychological element of it, I mean to say. So there is enough silly stuff on 2.0 that they probably would be better served introducing more feuds in this vein, and I think we got that in Sikoa versus Gunter. That's what he's going to be for a while. He's going to be a Gunter. Gunter. He's a Gunter, like the A champion. Every time I see the A champion written out, I'm like, you pick either the or A. Oh, right, that's what he calls himself. Okay, put some quotes around the A, please. I agree, because Imperium, at least the tag team side of Imperium, even though I like the individual talents of the guys, it has just felt dead in the water for so long. And the creeds are really exciting, but the video package made even the Imperium side of things more intriguing, just on a, hey, here are some badasses who want to beat each other kind of thing. And then sometimes it really is that simple if they sell it that way. And you know, there are so many examples I can go to. One of the absolute biggest examples of them all, and for some, I don't know why, there's probably a specific reason why this keeps running through my brain lately, but for some reason lately, I've just been repeating in my head that I believe it was a JR sit-down interview with Rock and Austin, and it was the one where Austin was explaining why he wanted this WrestleMania match with Rock, their second one, right? I think it was. And he just says, I don't want to beat you, Rock. I need to beat you. Or, you know, whatever the exact phrase was. You know, I need to beat you, Rock.
Yeah, that's,
and that's
the second one. Yeah, second
that
one.
That was the entire story. When I said it out loud the first time, I was like, that didn't sound right. That was all you needed. I mean, it was an incredible build, and you know, there's like not a single wrestling fan who will disagree with that. So enough said. But that it boiled down to that. Agreed.
All right, we go to Kevin Catani. Salutations, gents. I hope this email finds you well. I thought the episode was entertaining this evening. I love the matching gear of Ciampa and Breaker. I thought Gunter has never looked better body wise. Oh, there. So he's backing you up. And CHASE Stomp was a throwback to a bygone era. I think Hayes continues to improve, and Stand and Deliver is shaking up to be a solid show. What are you most looking forward to for the WrestleMania weekend show, and what surprises do you expect for that weekend? Thanks as always. Go VIP and listen to 8YB and Tom's new show. Cue shameless plug here. Office hours are now over. The professor, Kevin P. Catani, PhD. Yeah, I'm not expecting a whole lot of surprises. That's not what this version of NXT is trying to be. They're not trying to do a lot of – anything they do as far as stunts is coming from the main roster. They're not doing stunts as in hiring people away right now, but they will, because that's how these cycles go. That will happen. And whether some of them start in NXT or not is going to be the big question. But that will happen. That will happen. Because it happened last time. So I am not expecting major surprises. Breaker could lose his championship because they could fast track him, but I wouldn't consider that a major surprise. I can't think of anything right now that they could pull off that I would consider a major surprise, because now we are in a version of NXT once again where it's really hard to pick winners and losers, because it's really hard to decide who's going up and who's not. And for a while, nobody was, for long stretches. Now we are seeing Vince with his favorite types of toys, and I think we'll see more call-ups. I think we'll see more call-ups of people who have not been there long. So I'm trying to recalibrate to what I think is going to happen at these shows, because once again, with the championships, we're not thinking about who makes a good champion. We're thinking about who makes a good piece for the main roster. And it took us a long time to get away from that. The when we were talking about NXT Black and Gold, which, you know what I mean, folks. But it got to the point where we didn't think about people getting called up. We thought about the show just being a show. Now we're talking about people being called up again, and it's more difficult, much more difficult. I don't think if there are any surprises on WrestleMania weekend, I do not think they're going to involve Stand and Deliver. I think they're going to involve WrestleMania. So I wish I had an answer for you. I don't. I'm not expecting anything crazy at these shows anymore. I'm not expecting any of these to be like talked about on a takeover level. I think they're just going to be analyzed by folks like us and talked about in more terms of how everyone's progressing. They're not going to be just like pure wrestling shows anymore, almost at all. But if we get a pure wrestling match that is wonderful, we'll talk about it forever, like Tom and I did last week with Cesaro and Sami Zayn. Tom?
So the thing about Stand and Deliver, after what we now know is Roadblock, I still think that's so funny. After Roadblock, they'll have, what, 3 weeks to build Stand and Deliver? And we've seen plenty of three-week pay-per-view builds over premium live event. It's weird to me that I'm getting hung up on that, since I have wanted it to switch away from being pay-per-view for a long time. It just made sense. But I'm getting hung up on it. But we've seen that length of build for that type of show before, so I'm not crying foul, but like, maybe I'm not being imaginative enough, because I'm so very focused on the lower and middle card of NXT right now, rather than the championship scenes. And, you know, we're specifically talking about this episode here tonight, but what the heck is even going to be on Stand and Deliver? We now know there's going to be a North American Championship ladder match. Is it going to be with a lot of people in it? Is it going to be one-on-one? It's probably going to have like 6 or 7 people in it. Hopefully for Sami Zayn's sake, it'll be 6, because, you know, even though he's not in the match, he'll be going crazy somewhere if it's an odd number. But who the heck is Breaker going to wrestle? Are they going to do Ciampa again? I mean, nobody else is near that. Are they going? No, that is Creed's versus Imperium next week? They're doing Last Man Standing next week. Are they going to continue to
Creed's, like, and Imperium is next week too? Yeah.
So what the heck is? And like, Mandy Rose has felt like a non-entity since we're focused. I know she's sitting in the VIP section, but we're focusing on JC and Gigi for the Dusty. I guess the tournament isn't going to climax next week, so we'll probably have the Dusty Classic finals at Stand and Deliver. But what the heck else is going to be on the show? What am I not thinking about?
I don't know.
Tony D. The Wikipedia page has Breaker versus Dolph, but that's next week.
Yep. Tony D. has a big fish in mind.
Oh, right. probably the North American Championship. He'll be in the ladder match.
Yeah, but it seems like, oh, man, he really framed it like he had a big fish in mind. But maybe the big fish is the North American Championship, I guess.
Yeah.
But he said his opponent would sleep with the fishes.
Right, exactly.
You know what? It's Luca Brasi. He's going to face Luca Brasi. Have you seen The Godfather in a while, Tom?
Last I watched it was, I think, about 2 years ago. Is he going to wrestle
the
Brasi
zebra? Luca Brasi sleeps with the fishes. That is, that's where I'm taking that from.
Oh, I thought there was another reason you were asking. Of course I know that Luca Brasi sleeps with the fishes. My goodness.
That's why all I was saying, he's going to face Luca Brasi, because he was saying that his opponent will sleep with the fishes.
I did not forget I did not forget that, and I did not forget the cannoli.
Okay, oh, God, of course. Yeah, you had me scared for a minute. I thought that you didn't get Luca Brasi, and I was like, Tom, you're a fraud.
No, the zebra, or you know, first, my brain is telling me the Zebra 2. Was that his name, the Zebra 2?
Yes. Your brain is telling me that. I think that's correct. Go for it. Where were you? Are we done? Are we good?
I think we're done.
Is it a show? Is it a show yet?
He was known as the Zebra Kid. Okay.
All right. Well, Tom tries to zebra the rest of the show. And I guess that should be the end of the show. It starts with a Z. I'm Kelly Wells.
You did mine more out of that. Oh, my goodness.
Kaboom, baby. I'm Kelly Wells. You can find me all over social media at Spooky Milk or at SpookyMilk.games. Oh, my God. This was a fun one. We got to talk about some really weird high concept stuff, which we haven't gotten to do much in the 2.0 era. We did that almost too much in the previous era, but we haven't gotten to do that now. We're glad that people know what this show is now. They're settling into it, and they're asking questions that are relevant to this rather than, but the ratings and can this be successful? Yeah, it can. And success in this show comes in a couple of different forms. So really good stuff here. Thank you, Sean, for being here. This was tons and tons of fun to do. Nate, thinking about you and your family. Hope everything goes well. I'm Kelly Wells, Spooky Milk and SpookyMilk.games. Tom.
This was a fun one. The technical glitches at the beginning were a bit of a blessing in disguise, even though we still had the whale sound blinking at us throughout the show here and there. Getting knocked out of our rhythms helped loosen things up as if we needed that anymore after 4+ years of doing this. But I'm looking right now at a picture of the Zebra Kid, and you know, seeing how he looks, being reminded what his face looks like, and knowing the wrestling world, he really should have just been called the Gorgeous something, because that
Yeah, well done.
I was like, oh, Kelly's got to have something for this, right?
I'm waiting for my own pre-planned ending. That's the problem.
Oh, darn. Well, everybody listen to Bonus Point. Have you heard me plug it enough lately? And of course, NXT 8 years back, if you haven't heard the multiple plugs for that, we talked about Arrival. I'm actually really proud of how that episode went. I thought that Kelly and I nailed it, and it's a really good analysis of the first TakeOver event. Really important. It felt important-ish at the time, but it's even more important in retrospect and very rewarding to go back and look at the pros and the cons of it, the Cesaros and the Mojo Rawleys. And Willing Creatures is still a thing. I've plugged enough, so if you've heard me talk about it before, you know what that is, but I am at Tom Stoup on Twitter, and that's where you can find all the other stuff I advertise about myself.
All right, folks, I got to watch some New Japan Pro Wrestling, and Tom has to butt dial Shaw Guerrero, so that is the end of the show. And we will see you in 7.
Well done, well done.
That was fun. And if I was a wrestler, I would never listen to us again. But that was fun.
Oh, man. Oh,
bonus content for the listeners.
Yeah, of course. I tear apart Nikita Lyons because I love.
Yes, I tear apart.
It's because I care.
Nikita Lyons also. And I do not care.
Not the way Twitter would. Not the way Twitter would.
I was going to talk about the amount of wrestling on this show. 52 minutes, 44 seconds. Pretty heavy for this version of NXT.
Oh, yeah, actually, and even scanning up and down my notes, I'm surprised that it amounted to that, but cool.
Yeah. So there we go.
Oh, goodness. Oh, you know what I saw? Since for months now, I haven't even been looking at what the RSVP emails to actually go to the Performance Center say. They've added so much to them. They're all, it's not necessarily fine print, but they've just continued to add details. But since I was looking to possibly go this week, and I'll probably look to go, do I want to try to go again next week? Because then I've got to take the shuttle back and then I wouldn't be able to join the podcast on time. I don't know. Figure that crap out. I might delay. It's just like, I don't know. My son asking me if we could go, I was like, oh man, yeah. Now I really want to take him. They have added the loudest fan contest to those RSVP emails. It's in there saying like, oh, we're going to give you, if you show up to the event, the loudest fan is going to get, you know what the one that they did this week was a photo op with the Dusty Cup.
Oh,
you
wow.
You get to take a picture standing next to the Dusty Cup.
I don't know when it happened for sure, but the Raquel and Cora versus Leon and Feroz match, there was a woman that shrieked for 10, 15 seconds at a time, a few different times. And I was like, you know, not a violent guy, but if I was there, I'd punch her in the face.
She really wanted to meet that trophy.
Yes. I would not punch anyone in the face, but oh my God, it was so distracting while I was trying to talk about that match. It was, oh boy, it was annoying. I got to figure out what I'm going to do. A few nights ago, I was looking at, I don't know how it happened, but I was looking at movie tickets. And then my brother's been wanting to go to like a pay-per-view because I recently went to one. And he hasn't gotten to do anything. He goes around to his six Kona Grills because he runs six Kona Grills because he's a district guy. He just wants to go somewhere and do something. We did one concert, but otherwise he hasn't been doing much. And as it happens, AEW Revolution is going to be on like these pay-per-view things. Like you can go to it in the theater.
Oh, I heard about that, yeah.
And I was super wasted and woke up to find out that I had bought two tickets.
Oh, God.
And, like, I don't really remember doing it, but I remember remembering that I was in a state where I absolutely believed I had done it. And I was – and, you know, fine, because that's what he wants to do. You know, we can sit there – watch one in a crowd of 20 instead of a crowd of 20,000. But it's on a night where we're going to be down in Blue Earth for my dad's birthday.
Oh, no.
And apparently I didn't put that together in that state because it's not on my dad's birthday. It's on the day we can get there to do it, which is a day later. So I don't know if I'm out $56.
Oh, well.
It's 50.
I mean, what is that like for both tickets?
Yeah, actually, that's what it was for both tickets for this.
Huh, wow. And this is also me realizing that AEW has a pay-per-view called Revolution. I just last night told Wade that I think it would be a good idea for WWE to get a little cheeky, just a little, and refer to Cody Rhodes as the Revolution Cody Rhodes, but maybe that's too on the nose if they actually have a pay-per-view called that. Let's see. I've been following the recaps. Punk MJF should be good.
Yes. My God. MJF last week gave a promo that I would call a top five most memorable in my life.
Yeah, I have heard similar praise for it in other places.
To know. It's not only good, but it's intriguing in the way that you're like, where are they going with this?
Yeah.
It was mind blowing. And cool.
I don't think even fans of the product give a shit about Cole versus Paige. Else is on the card?
They do. A lot, actually. But it is happening too quickly. Way too quickly. What else is on the card? Jade Cargill is on the card.
Bucks versus Red Dragon, right?
It's a triple threat. Bucks. Oh. Yeah, probably Bucks. As far as I know, Red Dragon.
The people, yes.
The Express, Jurassic Express. And then there was a tag team battle royal, and that was on the show that I covered with Tyler. And I said, I don't know what's going to happen, but I think I told him just because they're booking in a way similar to what I'm used to. I said, here's the thing. Red Dragon's going to win this thing, but they're also going to start a mini feud during the match with the other team that will eventually be added to it. And that's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, I'm not mad about it. That's what you got to do when you've only got like so many weeks to do it. But that's what happened. It'll be Bucks, Red Dragon and Jurassic Express. And then I think Jurassic Express will retain in a way that starts a Bucks Red Dragon feud. And then there's a Face of the Revolution ladder match. It'll be six guys, and three of them are hosses. So it's going to be weird because it's a lot of great big power dudes in that. And it'll be frightening because we know that in AEW, when they're doing these kind of matches,
yeah, you barely even have to finish that sentence.
Safety is not paramount.
Nope.
Yeah, it's like they've gotten away from it a little. They've become a little better about it. But it really seems like their headspace is, we've got 100 wrestlers. If one of them fucks himself up in the ring, we're fine.
I feel like it's the wrestler freedom thing where at a certain point, people who are going out there to perform in the ways wrestlers perform and try to get crowd reactions in the ways wrestlers do that, they need the control element a little bit more. Now, I'm not saying like control to the extent that WWE does. I'm obviously much more in favor of that fashion of it, but there can be a middle ground rather than just being like, all right, go out there and get over. Yeah. And then you see what ends up happening.
They brought in Nick Gage for a match, and they had Nick Gage.
That was the last episode that I watched.
Match.
That was the last episode that I watched because I was on Wrestling Night in America. So I had to for Greg. And that was after that, that was when I was like, all right, I'm not watching any more of this shit. And especially because it wasn't just it being a garbage death match. It wasn't just that. It was that just like the other like lowest level of indie garbage death matches that I've seen, it was just set up spot to set up spot to set up spot. There was no professional wrestling art going on. Like I watched a deathmatch event, and the reason I watched it was because it was the novelty of it being the first wrestling event to take place in Orlando after the pandemic took place or it took hold. And these freaking people, I shouldn't even say, because, you know, there are wrestlers that were on the card that I like and respect and have enjoyed in other capacities, but they're trying to make a buck and they get stuff, you know, they take the, I don't know, whatever crap. I don't even know what those things they stick into their head are called, the skewers. But they have like stage hands that are bringing out props and then holding them in place for the wrestlers to then go through them. Like there's no effort to make it look like anything other than a geek show. And when I saw that, and when I saw Jericho lowering himself to doing that because Nick Gage became a name because he had a documentary made about him on TV, I was just like, oh my God, F all of this.
My brother and I watched that. He was, I go to my brother's about once a week. And we stay up late. Normally we play Wheel of Fortune on PS4. We do that almost every week, which is bizarre. I play Wheel of Fortune almost every week. While extremely stoned. Bonus content.
We should have been recording and had a VIP after show.
But he was like, have you ever heard of Nick Gage? And I'm like, yeah. Yeah. Like, my brother knows how big of a wrestling fan I am, but he's sometimes surprised when I've heard of somebody who only a big wrestling fan would know about, which I am. So even if I hadn't seen him, I know about him. And so he was like, it just seems like this is crazy, this stuff he does. And I'm like, I'll watch this. But if they're like sympathetic to him and what he's doing, it's going to kind of piss me off. And it was sort of like, Nick Gage is just a dude trying to, and it is a geek show. It's hard to watch a lot of it because the main part of the end of that, of the final third of that, is somebody getting airlifted out by a helicopter from a match that happened in front of like 60 people. Just in the middle of nowhere, fairgrounds somewhere. I'm like, that's what you're dying for? I'm all about personal agency, autonomy. I want people to do what they're able to do, but why is nobody saying, hey, this doesn't make sense based on what you're going to make versus the risks you're taking? Like, you'll break even if you don't get injured, but you'll probably get injured based on the stupid shit you're going to do. Oh, mama. It's nowhere near that level in AEW, but God, they've done a couple of things. And New Japan did a ladder match that I thought was ill-advised based on the type of ladders they used and the age of the guys they used.
Mm.
And they don't, New Japan does like one ladder match every 3 years. And they finally do one, and it's with 85-year-old Hiroshi Tanahashi. He's not that old, but he's like 42, 44, but his knees are destroyed. And the guy, it's incredible that he walks. And he's learned a new style based on that. And he did a ladder match with Kenta where they did a bunch of spots that, I mean, these are young man spots, if anybody's. Mm. And they came out of it. Kenta got injured semi-significantly. Did you see the Joey Mercury spot? spot in that.
Yes. Yep.
There was nothing like that, but there was a bad spot. Like, it was the second worst spot I've seen after that. And to be fair, the Mercury spot is way, way, way worse.
It's just like, oh, hey, this gentleman does not have a face anymore.
Yeah. Cool. And then he leaves, and Michael Cole's like, oh, apparently he's not in the match anymore. And I'm like, yeah, is he dead? Tell me if he's dead.
Oh, boy.
His face was removed. We saw it. Oh, my God. So, yeah, it's – they – oh, my God. Storytelling-wise, they are basically doing all the things WWE did while they were good. Like, he's clearly somebody who cut his teeth on WWE because he's doing good WWE storylines, while WWE is doing bad WWE storylines for the most part.
Are you talking about AEW?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, Tony Khan is very clearly obsessed with WWE. This sounds petty, but I finally blocked his Twitter account. I was just sick of seeing the stuff that kept on popping up in my feed.
Oh, I mean, that is petty. But you know, if it happens, I've blocked kind of a lot of people. And
I recently switched back to the native Twitter app because my preferred third party app started requiring an annual fee. And the annual fee is only $6, but come on. So now I'm back on the or for the first time I'm on regular Twitter. That, like, when you're done looking at, I mean, everybody's familiar with this, I guess. I don't think using third-party Twitter apps is actually that popular a thing to do. But, like, when you're done looking at the people that you want to see, that you've decided to see, it starts recommending you a bunch of crap. So that's why I kept on seeing Tony Khan stuff. And I was like, I've got to get this out of here. The next to go is going to be Montez Ford, because so many people I follow him. And I like Tez a lot. But every single day he tweets, God is good. And no matter how many times, and it's just, you know, like I enjoyed Luke Harper saying, you know what that means and, you know, whatever. But every single day with that, like you and I both like Auntie Donna, the shorter guy from Auntie Donna has these guys are hilarious to follow on Instagram. But I don't follow that guy because his running joke is that he shares the same image every single day. And it's like, all right, well, I don't need that in my life. So Tez thinking God is good is great. And he's putting that out there. That's wonderful for him. But I have told Twitter so many times that I am not interested in that tweet. And every single day it shows it to me again.
Oh boy. They think like, oh, he's engaging with it. Oh God!
It's like the pastor at the races that you know they do an invocation that I film on the weekends, and he always opens
God.
His. Yeah,
I went to a rodeo with my wife.
Yeah.
Because we were just like, this is something we would never do, and they started with a long prayer, and I turned to Kathy and I said, "Get me the fuck out of here."
Yeah, the very first, before I worked at the racetrack, the guy who ended up getting me the job there, who actually likes racing, brought me there as we were just, you know, paying race goers. And they started the national anthem, and I was wearing a hat, and this old dude behind me, like, was upset with me because I kept my hat on. And I was like, God, who? But this pastor or reverend or whatever his
that
title
happened
is,
to me. Oh my God, I got a good story about that. Go ahead.
Yeah, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful to anyone who you know, but whatever. I don't know if Reverend Keith is listening, but this sermon guy will start every single prayer by saying, "Lord, if anyone here has not been touched by the light of God, please reach out to them." And you know, let your presence be known to them tonight. And I'm always just like, oh shit, nothing happened. Like, I don't know. That's a joke. But yeah, I think every time Twitter sends that tweet to me. I'm just like, they want this to be the day that I see that and I go, oh, hallelujah.
All right. Oh, my God. Oh, boy.
Okay, you and a hat, and then I'm going to go to bed.
Oh, God. I'm trying to remember what I said to the guy. because it's happened a lot. I grew up in a really small town, 4,000 people. And there was a real thing where people said it's disrespectful if you wear your hat indoors.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I was like, what? That's not a real thing. That's not, you made that up. Like, somebody made that up. You're following it. There, it doesn't make sense that you're following it. Oh, God, yes. It was a baseball game. And I, no, it was basketball. It was a Timberwolves game. And I got there, and I stood up. I kept my hat on. I said nothing, but I did stand up. And I got there, and I was already in my cups, kind of. And a guy behind me who made it, no, in front of me, who decided he had to look at everyone, made it a point to look at me and a couple other dudes near me who didn't stand up at all. And he said something about wearing my hat. I'm like, bitch, you are lucky. I stood up. I did not want to stand up for that shit. Like, I had no desire. Like, the hat is the smallest problem you should have with me.
Yeah.
Because I promise you that everything I did just now was just theater shit.
Yep.
To deal with, in the hopes of not having somebody like you respond.
Precisely.
The literal minimum. Oh boy.
Yeah, I don't have to film the national anthem. I mean, I don't know. There are very few regulations. I basically do what I want, but if there's a singer, I definitely do a good job of filming it because I want to document that. But usually they just play a recording. I don't have to film anything, but I make sure that I'm either going through the motions of filming something or I am like, I have my hands on the camera pointed toward the people that are introducing the show just so I don't have to participate in the ceremony of the national anthem. That was more during the Trump years. And of course, you know, being at a racetrack, this is, everybody's walking around wearing Let's Go Brandon shirts and has a Don't Tread on Me flag. It's that community. But yeah, especially during the Trump years, I was just like, nope, I'm not participating. But the first, over the weekend, my son wanted to go to a monster truck event because, you know, it's like when the circus comes to town and they send the free tickets to school to get the kids to come home. Like, mommy, daddy, I got a free ticket. Take me to the circus, please. So in this case, it was a monster truck show, which I've never done before. And I was figuring out how in the world I was going to let this bright-eyed kid who really wanted to go to see monster trucks. I was figuring out how I was going to let him down. And then I noticed on the ticket that it was taking place at my racetrack. It was just this monster truck, this touring show had rented out the track. So I wasn't involved in the event and I didn't know about it. But it was there. So I was like, well, I go there on the weekends for work anyway. What's the harm in going? And I was able to get a free ticket from being a track employee. And that was, anyway, what I'm getting at is just that, I didn't know, realize that any of the drivers that I knew from work were going to be driving the monster trucks, but a couple were. So that made it a little bit more like, oh, okay, I know that person who's just going over a mound slowly. Why is this exciting to people? But okay. But they played the national anthem. And I was like, oh shit, I'm not in my spot. I'm not at my camera. I've actually got to stand up with all these Trump people and participate. I've got to put my hand over my heart. Like, my son didn't even know what to do. I was like, hey, you got to face this way, buddy. The flag's over there. Put your hand up. But anyway.
Oh, I lost you. I lost you a couple times during the show. I think I have two separate, recordings
that have to be spliced together.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, now I am. I think I am. But
okay. Yeah, I think I have two separate recordings that have to be spliced together. And I lost – when I first heard the whale sounds, it was me calling into a show that I was already on.
Oh, dear.
But it happened while I could hear you guys, so it was really weird. The second time, I lost you for like 8 to 10 seconds, and I was like, fuck, the show's fucked.
Well, you know what we could do?
We could just
tell Corey, there was a recording issue, you got to take the blog talk file, and then all of this post-show stuff will be on there too.
That's true.
I would actually be 100% okay with that.
Me too. And I'm like, hey, I've dropped 3 to 5 F-bombs. If you're cool with that, so am I.
Nate dropped one last week. And, you know, now I've said the producer's name. And Wade always just says my producer. And I don't know. So I don't know if he wants to be named. So now, I don't know. I still think we should just say, you know what, screw it.
It's possible.
Let's just have him take the blog talk file.
It's possible two other Skype callers are listening, but otherwise we're good.
I don't know. That would be my suggestion. Just be like, sorry, man, recording issue.
I'm going to listen to these two and see if I am hearing what I'm hearing. Because I was like, the first one I pulled up was like an hour, 10 minutes, and that was short for what I thought this show was.
I think we went like an hour 45.
Oh, God, at least. Yeah. I didn't think if I had known this morning, it's like, hey, your show's going to be an hour 45. I would have been pissed off, but it was fun.
Yeah, it was. I got to go to bed. Good for 8 years back tomorrow, usual time?
Yes, I think so.
Okay. We don't have a movie question yet, so it will be a surprise.